Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13. And this time I got my reading glasses, so I ain't going to struggle to read. Like it looks like I can't read, but I got my reading glasses this go around. And the lights are a tad bit dim there. Okay. Looking at Luke 13, and I think we've been, as pastors, been going through the book of Luke, and I've been given this assignment this morning. I've really been meditating on this passage of Scripture for the last couple weeks, and I want it to be relevant to all of us, because I think when we think about a new year, oftentimes we think, well, January 1st, and then I'll go ahead and I'll start setting goals to lose weight. I'll start setting goals to read the Bible more. I'll start setting all these goals and doing all these things January 1st, as though sometimes in God's spiritual calendar for you, everything starts January 1st, but it doesn't. There are times and seasons in our life, and they vary one to another. I could be going through a season of testing right now, but somebody right next to you could be going through a season of harvest. Great things are happening in their ministry, in their life, and in their family, but somebody right next to you could be going through one of the hardest times in their Christian walk. And so when we see those kinds of things, we want to encourage one another in the Lord. We're a body. The Bible says we're to weep with those that weep, and we're to rejoice with those that rejoice. That's what a body does together. And I began thinking about this new year, and even though we're into February, getting ready to go into March, God is still doing some things in 2016 that is setting the pace, I don't just believe for the year, but I believe what God is doing significantly right now in your life, in my life, and all over our community is going to be something of which He is setting up for many years into the future. We are living in some very difficult days. We're living in some very dark days. And I believe the church, which is the light and salt to all the world and the community, God is preparing some things in you and in me right now that is setting us up for the next several years to be that stabilizing light and force in the city of Des Moines. I believe that with all my heart. That even the things that you're walking through right now that you may feel you may be feeling like the accuser of the brethren is pointing his finger on some things in your life. He's an accuser. He's a liar. And all he does is speak his native language. He wants to shut down the purpose of God in your life. He wants to stymie you. He wants to do whatever it is that he can do and throw your way to see if you're willing to stand strong and you're willing to walk into the destiny and purpose that God has for your life. And I believe this year there are just going to be some things that God wants you to do in your walk with him that is preparing the ground in your life for God to do greater and to go deeper and to see God just begin to do even more, to bear more fruit in your life than he ever has before. You see, because in this room, God has deposited spiritual gifting all over this room. There's marvelous spiritual gifting that God has invested in your life. Some of us don't even know it, but you're gifted. Look at your neighbor and say, you know what? You're gifted. Look at somebody next to you and say, you're gifted. Come on, just let them know, hey, you're gifted. If you don't know it, somebody next to you will remind you that you're gifted, gifted of God. The Bible says that God gives gifts unto men. And you are carrying some gifts that God has deposited and entrusted with you. They are kingdom entrustments. And they're not just for you. They are to be a blessing to the community. Let me enlarge your territory for a moment. Can I tell you something? Sometimes I think the church, when we look at what God deposited, we think it's just little. I believe a great God wants to do great exploits in your life. And I think sometimes the territory or the spiritual influence and sphere that God wants you to walk in is much greater than you'll know. And by the way, to all my senior saints in the room, let me tell you something. The best years are yet ahead. Seniors in the room, it's not for the next generation. We need you. We need wisdom. We need wisdom. This next generation needs a deposit of wisdom. And how to be faithful stewards of the things of God. Most of my counselors are much older than I am because they've experienced life much more than I. And they're able to speak into my life some things. So it's good to have people that could be honest and speak those things into your life. Let's look at the scriptures Luke chapter 13. Let's read through this. I got three distinct things I want to bring out this morning. Luke chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9. Looking at verse 6 through 9. Jesus is speaking in a parable. It is a metaphor. It's a kingdom principle. Keep this in mind. So we're not necessarily talking about fig trees here, okay? Though we're talking about a fig tree, we're really distinctly talking about things in our lives. We're talking about bearing fruit, although the scripture does use us as analogies of trees. The scriptures calls us in the Psalms oaks of righteousness. So there's the Bible says in Psalm, you're like a tree, Psalm 1, planted by rivers of living water, who yields its fruit in season, who always prospers, whose leaf doesn't wither. God has made you something solid. I know some of you in this room may not feel your life is stable and you're walking through some instability, but I'm going to tell you one thing is constant in you. That is the Lord Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. When everything around you in your life, whether it's family, friends, or the workforce, or something going on with you in your body and health, God will always be a constant, and he will be a stabilizer, and he will be faithful. That's his name, faithful and true in your life. While you are faithless, he is still faithful, the scripture says. So let's look at this. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. He also spoke this parable. And a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it, and if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. I want to talk to you from the subject this morning. What will you do with another year? What will you do with another year? Can I just say something even for the young people in here? Because I was a youth pastor for about 15 years. And I know there's some young people in the room. And sometimes when we're young people, we think, I got a whole life to live. Oh, I don't need to hear this. Or, oh, you know how it is, parents, when you're raising young people. But as a youth pastor, I've seen a lot of things happen that, you know, in the lives of young people who have not always made good choices. I will say, because I do know a lot of pastors in this community, we've buried quite a few teenagers this last year. In fact, in this very sanctuary about 2 weeks ago, a young man committed suicide in Johnston. Is that correct? I saw in this room and over in that overflow, administrators, teachers, and young people crying in this building. Because of choices and decisions, nobody is always guaranteed another year. Life is a gift of God. And if you ever fought for your life, or you ever been spared by a bad car accident, or if you ever had somebody you know, I know what it is. You know what it is in a battle for life and death. You'll get to meet Anna. I almost brought her here today, but Anna got very ill over the night. We talk about spending time in a hospital. I practically lived in one for 3 months with her when she was born, and there was nothing like coming to the edge of death, resuscitate, come back. Here we are, code again. Come to the edge there. Come back. It just wrecks with your emotion when you're in a battle for your child's life. Nothing like it to battle. It's one thing for me to take the hit. It's one thing for me to walk through something hard physically. It's another thing when it's your child. It just brings something out of you. Life is a gift from God. We can't take it for granted. You and I don't live blasé. The good steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God has an extraordinary plan for your life and my life, but it ain't small. It is not a small thing. The God of the universe did not design you or me just to go in, year out, with the same struggles, with the same problems, with the same issues. God is in the business of seeing himself glorified in you and me. And he gets glory in weakness. He gets glory in the times you and I struggle. He gets glory at the times when your faith is about this little. And that's all he's asking for, is to have faith so much as a mustard seed. If you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea, and be thou removed, it'll be cast into the sea. And because God has called this place with an extraordinary call, I just happen to believe I'm talking to an extraordinary company of people that God has chosen. Have you ever felt in your life like you're doing all the wrong things and it doesn't seem like anything is working? I'll put two hands up. Is there anybody in this room? It's like, God, I'm tithing. God, I'm giving. I'm being faithful. I'm doing all this stuff. And it just doesn't seem like anything's happened. Am I the only one in here this morning at 9:35? Okay, I got one honest sister right there. Bless your ever-loving heart. What? Oh, there you go, young people. All of us at some juncture are wondering, God, where are you? We've been doing these things very faithfully. And yet we've yet to see something happen. And here comes the owner of the field, and he's coming in this field, and he had an intentional planting and purpose for this particular fig tree. This fig tree did not plant itself. And I want somebody to know something in this room. You're a planting of the Lord. The Lord planted you in this generation in human history. He knew exactly. You could have been born during the Civil War. You could have been born back in the Middle Ages. You could have been born during, you know, way back in some place in history. But you were born in the end of the age. And I happen to believe that God has something epic in mind when he designed you and planned you for you to be born and to be born in this generation, in this hour, and what we're seeing all around the globe where people are fearful, we're worried about Zika virus, Ebola virus, we're worried about sicknesses, and we're worried about ISIS, and we're worried about who's going to be the next president and what Russia's doing and what China's doing and what kind of things are happening in the Middle East, and yet God is not moved by anything that you read on the Drudge Report, Fox News, CNN. God isn't moved by men's press. He already knows the end from the beginning. God has already destined you as a people to do great things. And the scripture says in Daniel, they that know their God will do great exploits. And in these last hours, we better be holding on to Jesus because it ain't going to get any better. And it seems sometimes that our efforts don't seem to bear fruit. Don't get discouraged. The scripture says, be not weary in doing well, because in due season, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. That's a determining factor. How many seeds have you sown in your marriage, in ministry, in many other places, only to allow life to take you down? And all of a sudden, you're like, forget it. I give up. I give up on this marriage. I give up on my kids. I give up on my family members. I hate this job. I don't like this. I don't like. And you're ready to give in. You have sown much, Zion Lutheran. Saints at Zion Lutheran, you have sacrificed much. You have given much. You know what's coming next? Your season of harvest. What God has destined. That's why he designed it. It says, the Bible says, they that sow in tears reap an everlasting shouts of joy. Everything isn't always struggle and trouble and trial and hardship. You know what happens? Some of us, we don't know how to sit back and receive blessing from God. We don't know how to receive the harvest. God knows what you do in secret. He sees everything. He sees your giving. He sees your sacrifice. He sees the stuff that you walk through. The Bible says every tear is kept in a bottle. He knows how many tears you shed. He knows even your weaknesses and yet still loves you. He knows where you struggle. Do you know something about your walk with God? Here's how some of you gauge your walk with God. I'm up and down. I'm up and down. What good am I for God? I'm up and down. I'm up and down. No. You know what God sees? He don't see this. He sees this. Because every struggle, whether you know it or not, every hardship is bringing you higher and higher. That's how God sees. Who's telling you you're this unstable? A righteous man falls seven times, yet rises again. And for 3 years, do you know fig trees really don't bear fruit their first 3 years anyhow? They don't. And yet this owner has an intentional planting. Can I say something to you? You just don't attend church. God plants you and leads you to where you are. The moment you uproot from where you are, God is not responsible via the Holy Spirit to what happens beyond that. Do you believe that? I think sometimes we like to chart our own course. If somebody offends you or you don't like something, you have the right and the decision and a human will to get up and go do whatever you want to do. But let me tell you something. God leads you. And if you are led by the Spirit of God, God leads you. And by the way, God don't always lead you in a place that's always conducive for you. God doesn't always lead you in places that are comfortable for you. And God does not always lead us in places sometimes that are pleasant. But the reason why he planted you there is because you're a beautiful tree planted where God wants you to be for all to grab from. That's why you've been born in this generation. Because it's such a dark one, God knew exactly to bring you forth into this time, because there are people that say, man, Jessica, how come you always smiling and you got joy? How come? Brent, man, every time I see you, man, you're just so faithful. What is it that's going on in your life, man? What? People are always trying to grab at the fruit they see in your life. The top head of the PICU at the time, my daughter was up there while we were walking through us, a Muslim man, was pretty much the overseeing director over there at Blanks at the time. When we were walking through, with Anna, and we were not sleeping, we were not eating, we were just we looked like the walking dead. And but yet he just saw this resolve and this faith we had to believe God. And finally, this Muslim man sits down. He's stressed out over everything that was happening because there was an emergency scenario that happened there. The hospital kind of blew it in the front of everybody, and we just happened to be a family while this was happening to our daughter. My wife had to intervene. Thank God she's a nurse. Intervene on my daughter's behalf when we had all kinds of medical staff at Blanks. Anybody from Blanks here? I want to shoot anything now. But who didn't respond? My wife responded in that moment. And this doctor was so stressed out by something common that should have been in Anna's room that could have saved her life. Thank God, you know, Anna's life was spared. He sat down stressed, and he says to us, he says, man, I just see you guys' faith through all of this. So you guys have such a strong faith through all of this. We didn't look like a mess. We just knew God. All the years, you know, all the years, it's so funny because you never know what God plans you for. My wife is a pediatric nurse. All the years that she studied thinking she would be a nurse overseas, little would we know somewhere in the game plan that God would bring forth Anna and that Jody's skill set would be ready for her. You know how God thinks? Isn't that interesting? You think you got trained to do one thing and God's showing you something else. He planted you. You're a planting of God. And just like the winter, leaves fall down. They just do. Leaves fall. They shed. But then there are times, don't you love the fall? Because the fall, the leaves are so beautiful. And the winter comes, all the leaves are falling off. I hate doing leaves. I just don't. It's a job I don't like. I got 5 trees in the small house that I have where I live. And I hate doing leaves. That's why I have somebody else do it for me. If any young person wants to do it, I'll give you $10 to do all the leaves for me. But that happens. And by the way, don't have any shame when you're walking through those seasons, because sooner or later, leaves are about to grow back on you. God's going to bear fruit because you're a planting of God. God doesn't plant barren trees, by the way. So if you're struggling with what you're called to do, and if you're struggling in this room or what your purpose is or your destiny is, I got news for you. If you don't know, God knows. He planted you. He planted you at Zion. He planted you at this time in human history. And I happen to believe he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. Second thing I want to talk to you about is the process. When you look at the planting, what's often important to realize is this. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where the people I'm around and certain things, there comes a point in my life where, you know, the process isn't always an easy process. Pruning isn't an easy process, okay? Nobody likes it. When God is dealing with an area of your life that he wants to have lordship over, or he's pruning something, when God prunes something, it isn't just to take something away from you. It's to bear more fruit. I'm horrible at plants. I don't have a green thumb to save my life. You give me a cactus, it'll die on my watch. I'm telling you, I'm not good at any of that. I have my buddy Bruce right up over here. He cuts my bushes out front. trims them down real nice and even, cuts them all down. And Jody goes, man, those are looking pretty bare. It looks like we don't even have it. But the next year, boom, even further, fuller. God is in the business of bearing fruit in your life. In this next year, consider these kinds of proactive thoughts in your head. In the journey, the Bible says, the discipline of the Lord seemeth not pleasant in the moment, but in the end, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are trained by it. There are some things on our tree that God wants to snip back so he can bear more fruit. And there are things in your life and my life that we must consider in this year that we need to let go in order to be more fruitful. And there are just some things we're not willing to let go. And for some of you, it's people in your life that are just sucking the life out of you. They're always calling you for something. They're always, listen, I'm going to tell you something. One of the hardest things, you want me to be honest in about 60 seconds here real quick? Not everybody comes from a Leave It to Beaver family for an older generation. This generation is like the Osbournes. Anybody have like a, you know, kind of a crazy friend? Nobody here, not just me. All right, I'll use me. First family of dysfunction, but not my immediate family. I'm talking about the kinship I come from, the Perez's. Jody had the good side of the family. Oh, just wonderful. Parents never argue in front of each other. My mom and dad threw bottles and shoes and ashtrays and everything else. So, but in my home, or it, when you come from those kinds of family things sometimes, generation, you pick up patterns and you pick up things in your life you don't even realize. The moment you get angry, you could be screaming or yelling at your kid. And you know what? One of the worst things about the next generation planting is we don't want to perpetuate the same cycles. God wants to deal with some things now before those things continue to develop as patterns and cycles in your life. Screaming and yelling is not a good way of disciplining a child. But I have found and found, or hitting, or grabbing their hair. In some cultures, you know, some cultures, they think it's all right to take a shoe off and throw it at your kid. You just don't do things like that in discipline. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I just feel like I need to say a few things here this morning, is that God is dealing with young people. Let me tell you something. Some of the things you watch and some of the things you see and some of the stuff that you're watching, listen, Kanye ain't cool, Beyonce ain't cool, all these other people that are hot, all the stuff that we're watching and seeing and absorbing sooner or later will yield something kind of fruit in your life. So parents, if you're watching your kids, be watching some of the things that are going on in your house with your kids. As long as they're in my house and as long as they're sleeping in the bed and the rent, the roof I'm providing, the food I'm providing, you're going to watch things in my house that are not, you know, that are acceptable to me to get my standards because you're in my house. Wow. I don't know. There are things that God's trying to snip in our life so he can bear fruit. So sometimes turning off the phone, turning off the internet, Twitter, Facebook, young people, so you can do some productive things with mom and dad. Play a board game. Instead of, well, I got it. You know what? At the time, Jessica, I remember in youth group, we brought Bibles to youth group. And nowadays, you can bring a little cell phone and, you know, you can do the Bible app on the phone. But we got kids texting while we're preaching. I never said, there are people in church. Like, hearing the word of the Lord ain't important. It's like who you got to talk to. Unless it's an emergency, I understand. But do you understand? I grew up back 20 years ago. What? No, almost 30 years ago. I was born again and in a youth group. We didn't have all that distraction. Cell phones and Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. They just keep coming. I'm not on even social media other than LinkedIn. Because, I mean, the rest of that stuff, trust me. Friend you? No, I don't want to be your friend. Yeah. Bearing fruit. Pruning. What is it in your life that God is trying to go deeper in that he wants to prune? What are some things that you can see right now that you need to do in your life? He says this. He says, I'm going to dig deep. Don't cut the tree down yet. I'm going to dig deep, and I'm going to fertilize it. Do you know what fertilizer don't smell pleasant. I don't know about y'all, but fertilizer don't smell pleasant. I want you to know something in this room this morning. God uses the smelly stuff, the stinky stuff in your life and my life, to bear fruit. If you're going through a hardship process right now, don't let the devil condemn your mind. Don't let the accuser of the brethren tell you stuff that's not true. God uses some of this stuff so you can bear fruit. God is using some of the struggle, some of the opposition, some of the things in your life and my life that stink. But he's using it, and he's digging deep because you're not a shallow person. You're a person that has deep roots. Our roots go deep in God. He's wanting us to go deeper this year. And deeper this year means our commitment needs to. Third thing, the produce. Because God has invested so much in you and I, he's looking for a return on that. He who is faithful with little will be ruler over 10 cities, the scripture says. Or if you're faithful in little, he'll make you ruler over much. That's how God can trust you. If he gives you something and you're faithful with it, here you go. Here you go. If you wonder how some people can manage so much in God's kingdom, it's because probably they've been faithful with little things and they knew how to steward it. God is a wise businessman. When he invests so much in you and I, he's expecting a return on that. He's expecting fruit to be born in your life and my life. And this year, I believe God is wanting to harvest some of the greatest fruit out of your life and my life. I don't want God coming up to me and saying, well, you ain't got nothing. I gave you this and did this and did this. And for what? What do I get as a return on that? Anybody ever loan somebody something and you never got it back? You ever loan a family member? Like, oh, hey, can I have 50 bucks? Yeah, I'll pay you back. Okay, give them 50 bucks and they never pay it back. Is that pleasant when somebody does that to you? It isn't. God planted you with a specific purpose, with a specific intention, in a specific generation to receive the greatest harvest out of your life and my life. And so the question is this, what are you going to do with another year that God has given you? What is it? For some of you here, please don't take offense to what I'm going to tell you. God has invested so much in you. What is it that you're doing right now in terms of this church or this ministry and serving God in? Have some of you in here procrastinated some things? Some of you in here have just, you attend Zion, but you're not necessarily engaged in what God is doing maybe in the overall picture. I'm just saying. This is coming via Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to step on toes, but Jesus told the disciples, he said, are ye offended because I speak the truth? And David said, they that love thy law in no ways is offended. I love God's word. There's things in God's word that hits me right between, all right, God, got it. Going to change it. Do you know when I woke up this morning, God convicted me of two things. I don't even want to share them with you because they're so personal. But God convicted me of two things. As soon as I got up, I was already on it. I was already on it. God knew, I got to do this too. I'm not perfect. I got to do this too. And it has to do with my house. It's how I relate with my wife and my kids. Two things. So I got off my lazy butt and I started talking and speaking and saying certain things. Because, listen, sooner or later, one of the hardest things that you and I can have is the reality that somewhere along the way, God has to undercut something when it isn't bearing fruit. I want you to stand with me for a moment. I'm going to share something, and then I'm going to close. I'm going to have Pastor Tina come and close us out in a minute, but I know this isn't a hey, rah, message, but this message is something I think that we need to take a look at and consider because God is wanting you to bear fruit this year in a way that you haven't done it in years past. He wants to do something great in all of us. Some of it is behavior. Some of us in this room, our identity is tied into what you do. As long as what's happening is successful, you feel successful. No, your worth is greater than that. Even while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Even when you were in your worst condition, he loved you and saved you. And you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. But there are things that God wants to do in your life and my life this year that's going to bear great fruit. Amen. He's got big stuff for you guys in here. Don't sweat going through some things. Don't go sweat going through hardship. He's going to use all of that. Trust me. He's going to use it all. Having said that, I want to just close in this. I know many of you in this room are so faithful. You are so faithful. Thank you. For the men and women in this room have made some sacrifices concerning this church, concerning this ministry. I want to thank you so much for being faithful. The Bible says many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find. And you're faithful people. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you guys for the sacrifices you do week in, week out in serving and in giving in here. And because of that, this church is like one of the most massive oak trees the city can see. People can see it and grab from it and be blessed from it, from this church. One of the reasons why I've shared that with you before is because I'm out in community everywhere. And the faith of Zion, the work of Zion is heard everywhere. I believe it's not just for what you see here and in Second Service. I believe this community needs you. This community needs you. I've been in out of this. I see Pastor Brent. I see Kate. I see Sherilyn. All these guys during the week, I see people in and out of here. Poor people coming to get bread. I watch people come in here asking and needing things. And people needing all kinds of things throughout the week in this place. It's an amazing place. It's a community center. It's a church. It's a lighthouse. It's a refuge. This is family business, and I just want to say this, and I'm going to shut my mouth, and I'm going to pray. Please continue to give unto the Lord as you know we are to give. I used an agricultural illustration this morning because there always is harvest in God's economy. But we have to continue to give and to sow into that because where one's treasure is where one's heart is. I'm going to make the biggest sacrifices and I'm going to give everything to the places where are closest to my heart. In the last couple weeks here, be honest, in the last couple weeks here, we've seen some of our giving, our regular giving, just dip. And it's so important that some of us continue to give unto the Lord because we have staff that has to be paid. We have things, we have lights to pay. This place has opened up community-wide for a lot of people. Again, I want to thank you guys for what you do, but I don't want us neglecting what is first. The Lord is always wanting what is the first thing in our life, first fruits. I'll share the story real quick in Scripture. The Bible says that Elijah was told to get up and go to Zarephath. Zarephath in the Hebrew means place of testing. He was told to go to Zarephath, and the Lord told him, you're going to be fed by a widow, because he just had come from the brook Cherith, and it dried up. The water dried up. So it's like, where do I go from here? God said, get up and go to Zarephath, the place of testing. He goes down there to Zarephath, and he says, a widow. In that culture, if you were a widow, pretty much you were the poorest of the poor, forgotten and ostracized and isolated. Her and her son were the only two inhabitants left in her house. And so God has a sense of humor. And he didn't say go to a wealthy businessman. He said, go down to Zarephath and a widow is going to feed you. He goes down to Zarephath and he finds a woman picking up sticks. And he says to her, she says, I'm picking up sticks. And he asks her for a cup of water. She gives him some water. And he says, well, give me something to eat. And she goes, oh, I ain't got nothing to give you to eat. All I got is what I got left in my house, a cruse of oil and a little flour. And that's it. Then after that, me and my son is going to die. That's all she had, and she was going to die. Not only did God know in his providence, knowing the end from the beginning, knew he was sending him to a place with a widow, knowing he was sending him to a place where a woman was just about to say, hey, after this, we're going to die. This is the last meal. And yet, the prophet in that day says to her, make me something first. And if you make me something first, I guarantee it ain't going to run dry out of that place, but give it to me first. In those days, prophets were the voice and the presence of God. And you know what she did? We could have had a casualty story in scriptures, but you know what she did? She gave him what she had left. And the Bible says it lasted miraculously day after day after day. And he said it's going to last until the rain comes back down and it's going to rain again. I wanted to say this, and I'm going to pray. Let us continue to give faithfully to God in our tithes and our offering. The only place in Scripture where God says, test me in this. Remember Zarephath, place of testing. Test me in this. And he said it to the Old Testament. He said it to in the book of Malachi to the priests. He said, test me in this and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, so much so you wouldn't be able to contain. I want us to want the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. And I'm going to close. Just join hands with your neighbor. And I want to pray that we be a church that is faithful to God, that we trust God. You know what's so crazy about the story? Is she's telling, look, this is the last I got in my house. The lights are about to go off. I'm going to die. Last meal I got. I ain't got nothing in these cupboards. And yet, you know what she does? Okay, here you go, prophet. You get this. Eat first. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and everything you need. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of people in this room are going through marital strain. Some of you are having problems with your children. Some of you are dealing with something in your body. Do you know sometimes you're giving? God knows the heart. It's not about money. God doesn't need your money. Trust me. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The earth is his, the fullest of stuff. It's not about money. What he was trying to prove was something in that woman's heart. Test me in this and see if I won't open up a blessing. So much so you won't have room to contain. He tells Malachi, chapter 3. Let's continue to be faithful. The Holy Spirit speaks to you today. This is about going deeper. Remember, going deeper. All of us want to be blessed of God. I want us, if your God is pricking your heart and saying, you know what? I haven't been giving tithes and offerings. I've been slacking in that. I should be. Please consider and listen to the Lord. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Let's pray. Spirit of God, I want to thank you, first of all, for these marvelous saints in this room. I thank you for such gifted people, such blessed people, such faithful people. I thank you for such an incredible company of people. I thank you for faithful people in this room. The things that happened in this room and the deposits from heaven in this room are touching an entire city, touching people we don't even know. I want to thank you, God, for these kinds of people. I'm asking you to bless marriages, bless homes, bless people that are fighting things in their families and their bodies. And Lord, we just want to go deeper in you this year. And sometimes going deeper means we're going through hardship and we're going through stuff, God, that we're not too proud of, and we things that you want to get rid of and things you want to cut out of our life so that you can bear more fruit in our life. God, I want you to be seen in my life. And I'll do whatever it is. If it's taking 10 more minutes to read the word every day, if it's taking 5 more minutes just to pray, if it's doing the things I'm putting you first, that you're not item number 10 on the to-do list. You're number one on my daily daytime. You're number one. Help us to make you number one at the top, a priority. And God, when you're at the top, everything falls into line. Bless the families of Zion. Bless these houses. God, just do great things through this company of people. I believe you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.